This Scoops is proudly produced by News Scoop.
Good day to you. Welcome to Biz Scoops for business news, local and international. I'm Barry Murray. On today's show, Bank of America says South Africa's upcoming budget will be a key indicator of political stability rather than just financial health. And South Africa's unemployment goes up to 32.9%. The economist Waldo Krichel also talks about phase two of Operation Vulindlela, which was launched last week. In international business news, Donald Trump committed to lifting all sanctions against Syria. In investment news, U.S.-China deal boosts global markets but hits gold and the rand. And we'll check in with Chris Hunting from the Center for Risk Analysis to talk about, among others, the contraction of the manufacturing sector.
A look now at local business news.
Economists at the Bank of America say South Africa's upcoming budget, its third attempt this year, will be a key indicator of political stability rather than just financial health. A widening budget shortfall, now possibly 73 billion rand, and slower than expected reforms are raising tension within the government of national unity. Despite these challenges, Bank of America is cautiously optimistic that the budget, due next week Wednesday, will pass. However, failure could damage investor confidence in the GNU. South Africa's economic outlook has worsened since March, with GDP growth now expected below 1.5%, down from 1.9%, largely due to global pressure and stalled local reforms. Treasury needs the backing of GNU partners, especially the DA, to get this crucial budget through. According to an Auditor General's report, the National Lottery underspent its budget on grants by almost 1 billion rand in the last financial year. This was mainly due to a combination of staff shortages, corruption concerns, and a halt to proactive grant funding. This is the highest underspending of grants in recent years. The Office of the Auditor General says the underspending is, however, not necessarily a bad sign. After many years of mismanagement and corruption, scaling back on grants is understandable. And the official unemployment rate was 32.9% in the first quarter of this year. This is slightly higher than the 31.9% in the fourth quarter last year. There was a decrease of 291,000 in the number of employed persons to 16.8 million from 17.1 million. The number of unemployed people increased by 237,000 unemployed persons to 8.2 million, resulting in a 0.2% drop in the labor force during the same period. We now have the president of the Economic Society of South Africa, Professor Waldo Krichel, on the line with us. Waldo, what is the positive and negatives of phase two of Operation Vulindlela, which was launched last week?
The major success of phase one was that they facilitated the raising of the cap on private electricity generation. This led to 9.5 gigawatts of new renewable energy and the end of load shedding. They also contributed to the success of the visa reforms by the Department of Home Affairs. Progress was made with the rest of their first-round priorities, but significant work remains to encourage more private sector participation in ports and rail. Their water reforms led to the establishment of a new National Water Resources Infrastructure Agency. A plan to finance bulk water infrastructure, better management of water use licenses, and water quality monitoring. But much work still lies ahead. The restructuring of Eskom and the establishment of an electricity market have also not been completed yet. That is why analysts are concerned about the expansion of their mandate in phase two. They must now also look at the digital transformation of government, spatial transformation, and the functioning of local governments. Their technical work and ability to coordinate across entities should work well for things like a digital identity system or addressing the backlog in title deeds. Local government is a different story because it comes with its own political complexities. It's a good idea to ring-fence municipal income from services within the budget, but that would be a major change because that money is currently used to cross-subsidize many other expenses. The unit will need much more capacity and political backing to get the work done. If you're an optimist, you might say that these additional priorities are exactly where the challenges lie, and that making progress in the lead-up to a local election wouldn't hurt. If you're a pessimist, you might say that too many diverse priorities sink most good plans in South Africa, and that Vulindlela Phase 2 is being set up through optimism, ignorance, or intent to fail. That would be a shame because they are the last hope to implement the reforms that the GNU needs and that investors are waiting for.
Thanks very much, Professor Walter Krichel, President of the Economic Society of South Africa. He's also an economics associate at the Northwest University's Business School. If you'd like to hear more from Prof. Krichel, you can listen to his daily podcast called The Economic Minute on Spotify or Anchor FM.
Time now to take a look at your international business news.
The American President Donald Trump has announced his partnership with Saudi Arabia is stronger than ever. This follows the USA and Saudi Arabia signing an arms deal worth $142 billion. Other investments were also agreed upon. This took place during his whirlwind visit to the Gulf countries, which mainly focused on promoting investment. He is also committed to lifting all sanctions against Syria and said it's time for the country to move forward.
Coming up next, our investment segment delves into the world of finance and wealth building.
Global markets gained momentum on Monday after the United States and China agreed to ease trade tensions. Meanwhile, gold and traditional safe haven currencies weakened as the dollar rallied. Wall Street saw a strong response with the S&P 500 rising by 2.4% and the Nasdaq up 3.4%. The firmer dollar weighed heavily on gold prices, dragging down JSE-listed gold mining stocks. Anglo Gold dropped 9%, while DRD and Goldfields both fell around 8%. Harmony was down by 7%. The Rand also lost ground against the stronger dollar. Before we say goodbye, we're joined today by the head of policy analysis at the Center for Risk Analysis, Chris Hutting. Chris, thanks for joining us. The Democratic Alliance faces an emergent political risk stemming from its unprecedented breakthrough among black voters. Why is that?
A major risk that the Democratic Alliance faces at the moment is the fact that while its support has increased, this could push political rivals such as the ANC, Actionist A, the Economic Freedom Fighters, to attempt to bait the Democratic Alliance into defending positions that could be framed as anti-black and thereby weakening its cross-racial traction and newly gained foothold and support from black South African voters. So, for example, looking at policies and legislation such as expropriation without compensation, the Basic Education Laws Amendment Bill, these could be pushed in the way to force the Democratic Alliance to look like it is defending minority privilege over and above transformation, and such targeted provocations around these issues will create a narrative trap. So to say, if the DA condemns racism, it may still be accused of insufficient transformation. If it sidesteps the issues, it risks appearing complicit.
Operation Vulindlela, a joint initiative of the presidency and the National Treasury, is the government's flagship reform program intended to secure structural reforms aimed at accelerating economic growth. Is this realistic?
While no doubt well-intentioned, the second phase of Operation Vulindlela, which aims to unlock higher rates of economic growth, could prove less than effective because it risks ignoring key policy constraints on growth, which include threats to property rights, race-based distortions in hiring and procurement, lack of accountability in government, and weak law enforcement. All of these ongoing issues hold back South Africa's economic growth and job creation. So even though phase two of Operation Vulindlela is aiming now, for example, to fix where possible issues in local government, if it doesn't address deeper policy and legislative structural issues, it risks proving ultimately ineffective.
Manufacturing contracted for a second consecutive quarter in quarter one this year, declining by 2.3%. What does this mean for the country's economy?
Because manufacturing contributes between 12 to 13% of South Africa's GDP, if it contracts, it is a drag on overall GDP growth and economic activity. In terms of raw output, manufacturing is 8% lower than it was before the start of the COVID-19 lockdowns in 2020. A big reason for concern with manufacturing contraction is that it points to concerns in that sector, which is reliant on long-term investments and growth. And if it is negative, or at least neutral and not positive, that indicates wider lack of real activity in the broader economy.
And that was Chris Hutting from the Center for Risk Analysis. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back next week with more business news, local and international, on BizScoops. I'm Barry Murray. Goodbye.
And this was another edition of BizScoops, proudly produced by News Scoop.